Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
Let's stay right there and worship. And I just want you to just close your eyes right where you are, and let's just think on the goodness of God and how he has kept us. He has kept our immune system strong. He's kept us safe from car wrecks. So let's just look from God and pray. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for keeping us strong. We thank you for keeping our immune system strong. We thank you for all that you have done for us in 2020 and 2021 thus far. I pray, Lord God, that as this message goes forth, Lord God, that you move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allow Holy Spirit to speak through me like never before. So we thank you that your people's minds are clear, their emotional bodies are clear, their mental bodies are clear, Lord God, and their spiritual heart, Lord God, is ready to receive from you today. So we love you, we thank you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God some praise all over this place. Come on, you guys, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. God has kept us. He has allowed us to come back into the building. You're not watching me on live stream right now. You're seeing me in real person. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. Didn't the praise team do amazing this morning? They wasn't on live stream either. So it is great to be back in the building. And I am so excited to be back in the building. I'm so excited to be back. And as you all see, we're having some technical difficulties. It seems like everything. There we go. I was like, you muted me, Ezra? I said, man. So as you all can see, we're having some technical difficulties. And the stage has changed. But for some reason, the computer wanted to update last night. So the computer updated, and it threw off our settings. So if you see the lights come back on while I'm ministering, don't be surprised. Or you see the TVs come on, don't be surprised. But how do you all like the new look? I know it's different, right? It's super different. So God allowed us to do some work while we were out of the building. He'd allowed us to, I know you can hear me clearly now, right? You can hear clearly. The rain is gone, right? The fuzz is gone. I know it's C, but I just remixed it right there. The fuzz is gone. So God allowed us to make some additions, and we got some new doors. If you look back at Brother Willie and Sister Michelle, and I can actually see myself on TV. So we have a TV back there too, which was pretty cool. That was cool how y'all did that. But welcome to this month. Guess what happens in this month? We turn 25 years old. So they said we weren't going to make it 6 months, but here we are 25 years later. And I just want to just prophetically declare that new beginning is getting ready to enter into a new beginning. See, what you see here is just the beginning. So in this year, we're going to see some more things come to pass on the stage. The stage probably look different by the end of the year, possibly. But it's just, it's a new beginning for a new beginning, and we're getting ready to embark on a new journey. We're getting ready to embark on some new things, and I'm excited that you all are a part, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So we are in a new month. So what does that usually mean when we are in a new month? New series. How many of you all enjoyed the 2021 series last month? Did everyone? I know we were up a long time last Sunday. I tried to get you all back in the habit of being in church last week. But no, really, we tried to talk 45 minutes, but it ended up going an hour and 30 minutes. So I want us to have more conversation like that. If you missed last week, I want you to go back to the NBCC page and watch it. But I want us to have more conversation like that. But we're in a new month, new series. And this series this month, we're going to explore this topic that has been really heavy on me. Not heavy in a bad way, but heavy in a good way. And we're going to talk about legacy. Everybody say legacy. Legacy. And so I'm going to use for a topic this morning, leave an inheritance. Well, live it, just don't leave it. Live it, just don't leave it. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. And I know we have to get back into the swing of things. It's odd being back in the building, huh? It's a good odd. I'm glad to be back. And I just want to say thank you to, first, I want to say thank you to the accounting team who kept us going while we were out. They kept the bills paid. They kept the lights on. So thank you to the accounting team. Lady A, who was our office administrator, kept us going. And I also want to say thank you to the media team. They recorded. They were here weekly, Saturday in, Saturday out. They were working to make sure that you all saw us every Sunday at 10 o'clock. So I just want to say thank you to them. And I am glad to be back, glad to be back. So everybody at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. And this is what the word, I'm going to read from the Message version, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic version, the AMPC. So this is what the Message version says. It says, a good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. Ill-gotten wealth ends up with good people. I'm going to say that again. A good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. Ill-gotten wealth ends up with good people. Let's read it from the Amplified Classic version. I know you're probably used to hearing it a different way, but this is what it says. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. So your version probably says, you probably have the New King James Version, it probably says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children, and the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, right? That's what your version probably says, right? And so that's this scripture right here is talking about legacy. Everybody say legacy. And so this is my first key point, and it's this. Our legacy is not found in what we leave behind. It is found in who we leave behind. See, your legacy is not found in just your inheritance, just in the money that you leave behind, but your legacy is left in the people that you leave behind. And so it is important for us to make sure that we live a life that is pleasing to God, because when we live a life that is pleasing to God, it has an effect on our children. See, I am an example of that with my father, General Lester Bell Sr. He lived a life of integrity. He lived a life before God so well that it inspired me to live a life. So he not only left an inheritance for us, but he also left moral stability. And so the emphasis of Proverbs 13 and 22 is less about the mandate of inheritance and more about the quality of a person's life. It is a good man or a just man compared to a sinner. So in the scripture, it gives us some contrast. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance. It says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, right? So it gives us some contrast in there. And so conceptually, the idea is that a just and righteous man will have an overflowing life. His life will overflow for generations. And so what we're seeing now, what you're seeing in me, is just an overflow from my father's generation. And then what you see in our son, I don't know if you all know the news, but we are expecting in 2 months. And so legacy has really been on my spirit really heavy in a good way, because I know that we are expecting a son in 2 months. So L3 is getting a lot of playtime in these messages, huh? He's getting a lot of playtime. Not even here yet, but he's getting a lot of playtime. Hopefully he can hear me. But he has me thinking about, what type of man am I? Am I a godly man? Am I a wicked man? See, they often say kids change you, and the kid not even here yet, and he's already changing who I am. He's changing how I think. He's changing how I treat my wife. He's changing, not saying I was treating my wife bad. I don't want y'all to get the impression that I'm just beating Lady P over the head. I probably wouldn't be able to beat Lady P over the head. Lady P probably beat me up. But I'm just joking. Just joking. But he's causing me to transform the way I think, transform how I see life, how I view the scripture. Now I'm even understanding how God viewed his son, Jesus Christ. Because the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son into the world, so whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when God sent his son into the world, his son had a legacy to live. And so this leads me to my next point, which is this. We often want to teach people what we know, but we must always remember we teach people who we are. I'm going to say it again. So we always want to teach people what we know. Well, I know this, and I know this, and I know this, and I know all of this information, but most times we teach people who we are. And so the life that you live is the life that will teach people how to live. Because remember, you have people connected to you. We have vertical relationship with God, and we have horizontal relationships with others. And so what we teach people how we are and not what we know. And so we teach people how to live life based on how we live life. So if I'm living life the wrong way, then I'm going to teach my kid to live life the wrong way. But if I live my life pleasing to God, then it would teach my son to be. See, the scripture says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he gets older, he won't depart from it. Now, training is not just say what I do. Training is learn who I am. Because if I tell my kid, well, don't smoke or don't do this or don't do this, then my kids see me doing that, and L3 sees me doing that, guess what he going to do? He going to do the same thing. And so you all are seeing what train up a child is in play with me. Because General, he taught me, you know, this is what you do. And I was just thinking yesterday, you know, we had a service yesterday for Sister Roberts. Keep Sister Yolanda in your prayers. But I was just thinking yesterday when I was on the way back from the family house to come up to do the service, how thankful I am for my dad. Like, I'm so thankful for him because he not only taught me, but he also left me like little hints in books that he wrote. So he was writing in the present, not knowing that it was going to affect the future. See, you have to live your life in the present, knowing that it's going to affect your future, because how I live now is going to affect how my kids live in the future. And so it's important for me to make the right decisions now, because if I make the wrong decisions now, then it's going to be harder for me. My kids are going to make the wrong decisions in the future. So the decisions that you make now, see, you think that your life is just for you. It's not. Your life is not just for you. Your life has, you have people connected to you. You have those who are watching you. You have family members watching you. You have friends watching you. You have coworkers watching you. So you want to make sure that you make the right decisions, make the God decisions, and live a life of wisdom instead of a life of wickedness. And so King Solomon was a wise man to write this wise proverb of the good man. And so why does a good man leave an inheritance for his children's children? So that becomes the question. Why does a good man, why does he leave an inheritance for his children's children? Let's go to Psalms chapter 37, verse 23. And I want to read that from the AMC and the Passion Translation. And next Sunday we'll have the scriptures on the TVs for you. If you forget your Bible, it's okay. We work together in this. So Psalms chapter 37, verse 23. And the question remains, why does a good man leave an inheritance for his children's children? Why? The scripture says that, but why, how, why does he do that? Everyone at Psalm chapter 37, verse 23. And this is what it says. It says, the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way, and he busies himself with his every step. That's what the AMC says. This is what the Passion Translation says. It says, the steps of the God-pursuing ones follow firmly in the footsteps of the Lord, and God delights in every step that they take to follow him. So the question is, who are you pursuing? Who are you pursuing? Are you pursuing your own plan, or are you pursuing God's plan? See, a lot of times we're pursuing our own plan. See, and I was guilty of that at one time. I want to be married at this age. I want to have a kid at this age. I want to have this at this age, and I want to have this at this age. Not knowing that if I would have followed my plan, then I would have missed out on the plan that God had for my life. See, God has a plan for your life. Whether you believe it or not, God has a specific plan for your life because he loves you that much. See, I want you to say this to me. I want you to say this to yourself. God loves me. Now say it like you mean it. God loves me. I know y'all used to saying that if you say it in your living room, but I want you to say, God loves me, and he has a plan for my life. And see, we have to live by that. We have to understand that God loves you and he has a plan for your life. See, you're not just here by mistake. You're not just here on accident. You're not just here with no purpose to fulfill. You're not just here to work a job, come to church, go home, get you some food, go to sleep. You see, you're not just here for that. See, God has a phenomenal plan for your life. And when you submit your plans to God's plans, then your life will succeed. See, we want our life to be successful, but we want to make our own path to success. But the scripture says the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way. And so we have to understand that the good man leaves an inheritance because his steps are ordered by God. So it's all a divine setup. So when I give my life to Christ, when I give my life to God, it's all a divine setup for me to be significant in the world. And so what I have learned as a husband and as a father to be is, if I cannot lead my wife and son, Yahweh, I cannot lead them anywhere. Because if I try to lead them my way, then that's often leading them away from God. But when I lead them according to what the scripture says, then I will be able to lead them properly, and then I will be able to leave an inheritance, not only just leave an inheritance, but live that legacy in front of them. And so I believe God is calling us to live our legacy instead of just leaving our legacy. See, it's not just about leaving it. God wants us to live it here on earth. See, I believe God is telling us that not just leaving an inheritance is what the scripture is saying. See, when we think of inheritance, what's the first word that comes to your mind? Money, right? But inheritance goes a little bit deeper than money in this context. Now, in the Jewish culture, contextually, this scripture was talking about the man leaving through the patriarch leaving land for his kids so that his name could be lived on, right? But the scripture is a little bit more deeper than just leaving money. The scripture also talks about leaving good habits. It's also about, because I believe we have to, because I can leave all the money in the world to L3, but if I don't teach L3 how to, that's one of his nicknames, by the way. So you may hear me say L3, Trip, V3. Lady Pilar was like, why are you calling him V3? Because he's version 3 of me. He's version 3 of L1, which is dad, right? But I believe this scripture is not only just telling us to just leave money, because we can leave money behind, but if we leave the money behind without the wise counsel of how to use the money, then it's just a bunch of money. And have you noticed that when someone wins the lottery in 5 years or less, they're right back at the financial status they were before they won the lottery? It's because they don't have the capacity in order to sustain what they have just gotten. And so we can leave money all day long. We can leave money all day long, but what are you leaving? Are you leaving good counsel behind? Are you leaving good habits behind? Are you leaving good tips behind on how to live your life, how to live your life spiritually, how to live your life mentally, how to live your life emotionally, how to live your life physically? See, we oftentimes want to leave money behind, which is great, but we also need to leave behind some good habits on how to eat, when to eat, how much to eat, you know, because I believe that God wants us to be whole, not just spiritually whole, but he wants us to be whole in our physical bodies. He wants us to be whole in our emotional bodies. He wants us to be whole in our mental bodies. And so let's continue to take a deeper look at this Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Because I believe that God is calling us to change a generation. But the decisions we make now can have an extreme effect on changing a generation. And we're going to talk about changing a generation on the fourth Sunday. We're going to talk about that. And I'm just going to be up for a little bit on the fourth Sunday because the fourth Sunday is a celebration day. And I got something special that I've been working on for you all. And it's going to be pretty good. So if I can get it to, if I can get everything to flow the way it's supposed to, and we're going to talk about changing a generation. And I may just put the message in video format because I like video. Can y'all tell I like video? Okay. Just want to make sure y'all is paying attention. And y'all know who Pastor Jay is. He like I love videoing. I love camera work. If Dad was still here, I'd probably be the one working on all the live stream stuff because that's just me. That's just a part of my passion. It's part of my gift. So let's go back to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. And this is what it says. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. So the happiness of men depends less on their external conditions than on their personal virtues. I'll say it again. The happiness of men depends less on their external conditions. So my happiness is not found in my external conditions. My happiness is not found in my external circumstances. My happiness is found in my personal virtues. And so my values, how do I value life? How do I value others? How do I treat others? How do I treat myself? Because how you treat yourself is usually an indication of how you would treat others. Because that's why the scripture says that we should love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So if the scripture says love your neighbor as you love yourself, then if I cannot love myself, then it's hard for me to love my neighbor. If I cannot treat myself good, it's hard for me to treat my neighbor good. So that's why there's a lot of disrespect. That's why there's a lot of fear. That's why there's a lot of hatred, is because I have not learned how to really love who God created me to be. See, when you love who God created you to be, you don't have to worry about how others treat you, because how others treat you is not on your court. It's what God will hold you accountable for is how you treat others. And so a good man is satisfied from himself. So listen to this. The effects of a man's habits are transmitted to his children and even to their descendants. So they derive from his character a sufficient and permanent inheritance. So inheritance it says they derive from his character a sufficient and permanent inheritance. So the habits that I have now are going to affect generations in the coming years. And so the habits, what, I know we don't usually like to talk about habits, but what habits do you have now? Are these habits going to help a generation, or are these habits going to hinder a generation? And a lot of times we have these habits that we've had for so long that we don't want to bring an end to because they make us feel good. They give us that dopamine effect. They make us feel good mentally. And so our habits, what are your habits? And we're going to do a series on habits this year because I really want you all to have the right habits. And habits are formed by little steps. See, habits are not formed by the big, huge steps. Habits are formed by the little steps that you take daily. So if you want to floss your teeth daily, you start off by flossing one tooth, right? And then you go from there. If you want to work out like 60 minutes, like me and Big Dave do, we work out 60 minutes, then we go to the gym in the evening, work out another 60 minutes. if you want to do that, you have to start small. See, Pastor Jay is an extremist, right? So I go all in or I go all out. I know that's just how God created me. I go all in or I go all out. But everybody is not like Pastor Jay, and I understand that. So if you want to make the right habits, if you want to become physically healthy, then it starts by doing 5 minutes of just walking in place. So we're going to talk, this is not a series on habits, but we're going to do a series on habits this year because I really want you all to have the right habits, because if you have the right habits, you'll have the right life. Did you hear me? If you have the right habits, you'll have the right life. So that leads me to my next key point, which is this. The instruction of a good man is an inheritance to his children. So the instruction of a good man is an inheritance to his children. So we teach more by our ways than we do our mouth. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 3. And we won't have any after message today. Maybe we'll have some after message in person. Possibly. We'll see. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And this is what it says. It says, "My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of a life worth living, and tranquility inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you." Verse 3, "Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness, and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart." See, when it's talking about writing them on the tablet of your heart, it's talking about your habits there. Because when you write them on the tablet of your heart, then you are ingraining them within yourself. See, this scripture is talking about write them on the tablet of your heart, but I believe heart here means subconscious mind. Because have you ever noticed that when you do something so long that it just becomes habit, right? You just do something, it just becomes habit because you have, or you do something, you just do it mindfully because you're like, I've done it for so long that it has just become a mindless thing for me to do. That's because it's ingrained in your subconscious mind. So when it's ingrained in your subconscious mind, then that means that it has created a groove there. And so that groove, you're used to doing that groove over and over again. Like, for example, when you're brushing your teeth, do you think like, oh, I got to do it like this or I got to do it like this? You just automatically do it, right? Right? We do brush our teeth, right? Okay, I just make sure. I know I can't see mouths. I can only see eyes. So I'm just trying to make sure that we brush our teeth in here. But verse 4 says, "So shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight of judgment of God and man. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths." So when you live a life like this, when we live by the principles of wisdom, we inspire our children and those around us to live by wisdom also. Because when you try to live by your understanding, when you try to live by your insight, you end up coming a little bit shorter than when you live by wisdom. And where can wisdom be found? Wisdom, scripture says, let any who lack wisdom ask of God. And so when you ask God for that wisdom, he will give you that wisdom on how to live. See, a lot of us don't know how to live because we haven't asked God, how do we live? A lot of us don't know how to love because we haven't asked God, how do we love? And so when we go to God who is love, when we go to God who was life, when we go to God who was life, he will shine light on our paths. He will direct our steps because the steps of a good man are ordered by God. And so your life is important. Your life is important. You are valuable. Just to let you know, you are valuable. God sent value for value. So he sent his son, which was valuable, for you who are valuable. So when you understand that you are valuable, then you will live your life from wisdom. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to not only leave your legacy, but I want to challenge you to live your legacy also. Because when you live your legacy and you also leave your legacy, then that's the inheritance that the scripture is talking about. And that's what I want to challenge you to do. And we're going to, in this series, and I'm getting ready to end, getting ready to close. In this series, we are going to talk about, we're going to explore when legacy has gone wrong. And we're going to talk about when legacy has gone right. Does anybody remember the story of Achan in the Bible? That was legacy gone wrong. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. When legacy goes wrong, it has a profound effect not only on you, but your whole family. And so we're gonna go a little bit deeper in the scripture, and we're gonna talk about legacy, because I really want you to, in this year, I want you to say, okay, the decisions that I'm making financially, are they good? The decisions that I'm making physically, are they good for me and my family? The decisions that I'm making mentally, emotionally, are they good? Are they great? Are they great habits? Are they habits that I can pass on to my children? Are they habits that I can pass on to my grandchildren? Are they habits that I can pass on to my great-grandchildren? See, the habits that my dad had, L3 is going to get those same habits because they've been ingrained in me. And so it's important that we not only leave our legacy, but we live our legacy as well. Amen? Amen. So, wow, how long was I up? 35 minutes. I'm trying to do an experiment. No, not really. I'm not doing an experiment. If you would stand to your feet this morning. And let's just kind of seal this word with prayer this morning. God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you for what we have just heard. We pray, Lord God, that this word will fall on good ground, Lord God, and that your people will take these words, Lord God, and make the right decisions when it comes to their life. We thank you, Lord God, for our legacy. We thank you, Lord God, for the legacy of NBCC. We thank you for the legacy of General, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the legacy of Lesterville Jr., Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that I will be an example to your people, Lord God, of how to live legacy, Lord God, and how to just be an example of love and life and joy and peace. So, God, we thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice. We thank you, Lord God, that their heart has been warmed this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be back in the building. So, God, as we continue along in service, we thank you for keeping our immune system strong. I bind out anything, Lord God, that is not like the kingdom of God. So we love you. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.